Good evening, Dobrovich. Dobrovich, eh? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Veta Gadadhara Shivasari Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're continuing with discussion of Lord Rama and Rama Lila. Tomorrow is Rama Navami, otherwise known as Ram Naomi, the ninth day of the, I don't know, is it waxing moon or waning moon? Waxing moon. Waxing? Increasing moon? Increasing? Okay. And we discussed yesterday about Shurpanaka. And then at the end we began to discuss about another key moment in pastimes of Ram, according to the sage Valmiki, namely the chasing of the magical deer, the jewel-studded deer, who of course was the disguised form, the magical form of Maricha, who was one of the associates of Ravana. Rakshasas are said to be man-eating beasts. They seem to have no hesitation to and they are shape-shifters. They can change shapes. Would you like to be able to change your shape sometimes? Yes? If you could change your shape, what would you be? What would you change your shape to? Something that can fly. Okay. So you could just walk outside and and fly across Ljubljana instead of having to be in all the traffic. Anyone else have an idea what you would like to be? No? Nobody has idea what you would want to be? Huh? A millionaire. Well, that's not changing shape. That's just having a lot of money. Huh? The shape of the wallet. Fat wallet. I see. Then that would solve all your problems, right? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Maybe changing gender.
Changing gender. Oh. Some people, of course, actually do that, right? Nowadays, people actually do that. Which is, to me, quite an amazing thing. I don't quite comprehend, but people do that. Changing gender. A lot of, we mentioned plastic surgery. A lot of people nowadays, this is apparently quite popular. Changing the shape of your face. I heard in China there's a lot of that because there's a lot of social pressure for young people to look a certain way. Yeah. Anyway. So if you really want to be a shape shifter, be careful, because you might find yourself being born as a rakshasa. That's what Maricha found himself to be, and as a result he had to do a certain service for Ravana, which he absolutely did not want to do, because he knew exactly what's going to happen. We mentioned about that. We read a little bit what Maricha had to say to Ravana when Ravana explained his plan for Maricha. Maricha spoke very strongly to Ravana, telling him what a fool he was, what a mistake this was. Did Ravana listen? He didn't listen. He didn't listen to good advice. When Sita saw this beautiful deer, she became very attracted, and so much so she urged Rama to go and to either capture the deer as a pet or to kill the deer, because she thought the skin of the deer, the hide, we call it in English, hide, H-I-D-E, same word as to hide. The hide of the deer would be wonderful to have to sit on. And initially what happens, Lakshmana says, this is not a good idea. Why? Because he immediately understood what's going on. He said, this must be Maricha. I mean, that deer is no ordinary deer. There's no question of it being just some fluke of nature, some strange, you know, beauty of nature. No, there's got to be some trouble there. That beauty
looks like trouble, which is for us also a general good principle to keep in mind when we see anything especially attractive in the material world, attractive for our senses. What should we think? Double trouble. Yes, double trouble. It's a trap, right? The deer was a trap. But Sita prevailed in her arguments. Somehow Rama felt he wants to please Sita. And so he went after the deer. We're going to see more of this pattern. There's a certain pattern here, I would say, in the Ramayana. We have someone persuading someone else to do something, or in some cases we have someone trying to persuade someone else to do something but not succeeding. Can we think of any examples other than what I just mentioned in the Ramayana of someone persuading or not persuading? Maricha failed to persuade Ravana to not do what he wanted to do. What else? What other examples do we have? Can you think of something happening when, in the early days of Rama's life, when he is a teenager, a young man at home? But then her argument became stronger. She became quite strong. She even said to Ram, "What kind of man are you if you don't take your wife with you?" And she had a quite strong argument that the wife must always be with the husband. That's like, I don't know, Dharma Shastra. Okay, so I thought we could read some of the deer pastime, some more of the deer pastime. Let's see now, where are we? So I'm reading from, still, this is Aranya Kanda. Aranya means forest. And this is Sarga, or chapter 41. So this is when Rama is agreeing, yes, okay, I'm going to go and chase this deer. But in his determination, his declaration of what he's going to do, he says several times that he will kill the deer. He doesn't talk so much about capturing, but rather killing the deer. He says, this is verse 23, 23, "Just see how Vaidehi, Sita, longs to have this deer, Lakshman. Because of his surpassing beauty, he shall die today." And he says there's no such deer anywhere to be found. And the lovely patterns on the deer's pelt, that means his skin, anyway, it just describes more his beauty, and he says, both for meat and sport, Lakshmana, kings armed with bows go hunting and kill animals in the deep forest. In the deep forests they gather riches with determination, precious metals of all sorts, veined with gems and gold. But here is all the wealth a man could ask for, Lakshmana. Riches enough to swell his coffers, that means to fill up his treasure chest. Just as Shukra's coffers, his treasure chest, come to be swelled, to be filled up with all the wealth men dream of. Those who know the theory behind material success and those who achieve it, Lakshman, say, Sita. But later, at the end of the Ramayana, it seems like he doesn't feel quite like that anymore. But rather, he's thinking his first responsibility is to the kingdom. Of course, you can also say it's not that he's giving up all responsibility. He sends her to the forest, but she is sent to the ashram of Valmiki, which means she'll be protected. So it's not that she's just being thrown out. And curiously enough, he says, at the end of this speech, he says, okay, Lakshman, you have to stay here, you have to protect Sita, Maithili. Then he says, with the aid of wise Jatayus. We usually say Jatayu, but the name is actually Jatayus. Jatayu. The capable and all-powerful bird, take care of Maithili. Be on your guard every moment, Lakshmana, and suspicious of everything. So, this is the duty for Lakshman. He's been given his task. As we know, what's going to happen? Lakshman is going to become persuaded by Sita to leave, to go to protect Rama. Of course, he does this not because he's actually persuaded. It's not that he's actually persuaded that he should leave. In fact, he's quite persuaded otherwise. He knows that Rama is not in danger. But Sita has attacked him with a terrible, terrible accusation. Horrible accusation. Actually, I just read it earlier today. It's more shocking than I thought it was. She really is. She's heavy. Incidentally, there's a modern version of the Ramayana that's been done by some Indian gentleman named Ashok Banker. I think he lives in Mumbai. He's published his version. And I was curious, so I got a copy. It's actually kind of seems to be somewhat popular. I first saw it in a airport bookstore, I think. And I read his introduction, and he explains that he had read all the different versions of the Ramayana that you could possibly read at least in some sort of readable language. So he said, I've read them all, I'm familiar with them. Now this is my version. And it's a very fascinating, he's written in a very fascinating way, I have to say. But what I wanted to say was that in his version, Sita is, she's a kshatriya, and she is super powerful herself. She is super expert at fighting, in hand-to-hand combat. She's like, you know, like you see some of these comics. Yeah, she's kind of like that. So we usually think of Sita, oh, she's so delicate and so, you know, helpless, right? But this author, he presents her in a very different way, which in some respects actually fits to the Valmiki Ramayana. As I said, sometimes she'll speak in a quite heavy way, like when she says to Rama, if you don't take me to the forest, what kind of man are you? So she can be like that. And when she speaks to Lakshman also, it's quite shocking. Okay, so Rama is on his way. He has two quivers of arrows with him on the back for, you know, fast shooting, maybe for shooting left-handed, right-handed, ambidextrous. Arjuna is like that. Arjuna is called Savyasachi, which means he who can fight left-handed. He's ambidextrous. He can use either hand. So he's got lots of arrows with him. And the deer, being Maricha, he's quite, you know, he wants exactly this to happen. So he's drawing Rama out into the forest further and further and further and further away, further away. Power, but also they can change their voice. This has nothing to do with it. There was a film. You've heard of Alfred Hitchcock?
Yes.
He made a, it was a film, I think, or maybe it was, yeah, I think it was a film. I think it was called The Ventriloquist. You know what a ventriloquist is? Yeah, he can speak in such a way you think the sound is coming from the puppet. So this story about a ventriloquist where this puppet actually kind of takes on a life of its own. And eventually, the puppet, I think he murders his master. Anyway, it's quite fun. Horror is one of the rasas, you know. It's one of the minor rasas. Horror. Why do we like horror movies, because there's something relishable there. Okay. So then Maricha, as he's dying, he takes on his original form as a huge rakshasa, and at that moment he dies. Well, he dies, but then it describes him more. He's got huge fangs, has a golden necklace, sparkling earrings, all kinds of ornaments. And then Rama, He sees this huge rakshasa lying on the ground, and he remembers Sita, and he remembers what Lakshmana was saying. And he realizes, now is going to be a problem. Why? Because he called out in his own voice, O Sita, O Lakshmana. So how is Sita going to react to this? And great armed Lakshmana, what will be his state of mind? And when he's thinking this, the hair on his body bristled with dread. Then Rama's consternation gave way to a feeling of fear that shot through him with sharp pangs. The deer he had slain was in fact a rakshasa. The voice it had used was his own. So this is one thing interesting here as we start to see the emotions of Rama. Rama is a human being. He is, yes, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the whole idea is he is Ram, he is the Lord in the form of a human being, and as a human being he has human emotions. So now we're seeing this, it starts to come. The trouble, of course, is beginning, and we're going to see more of his anxiety and then his lamentation, his anguish at separation from Sita, and of course his anger. We see a lot of Rama's anger in the Ramayana. He's already been very angry at, who was he angry at? Yes, Shurpanakha. He was angry at her, and then he became angry at all the rakshasas that Shurpanakha sent. First 14, and then 14,000. He gets, in a rage, and he kills them all. So anger is, there's a lot of anger there. It's, of course, righteous anger. It's not ordinary anger. 42 is rather surprising. it says after this is he has killed Maricha, so he's killed a deer, which is actually this rakshasa. And then the last verse says he killed another dappled deer and, taking the meat, hurriedly retraced his steps to Janasthana. Huh? What's this about? Well, there's some discussion about this in the notes. And here's what the translator, Sheldon Pollock, says. Why does Rama slay another deer? The commentators, remember I explained, he's looking at what the traditional Vaishnava commentators say. I believe they're Sri Vaishnavas. The commentators are puzzled also, and none offers a convincing explanation. One of them, he gives names in abbreviated form, so I'd have to look what are the names. One of them argues that, quote, another, unquote, here, really connotes unusual, the unique deer. In other words, this deer which he killed. and that is Maricha. But that doesn't make sense, because Rama would hardly have taken the rakshas as meat. And another commentator maintains that the poet, namely Valmiki, has Rama slay another deer only in order to occasion sufficient delay for the events of the following sarga to happen. In other words, there has to be some time so that Ravana can abduct Sita. So he arranges, okay, the poet has Rama do this. This would give explanation of why there's a time gap. But this would not be necessary because, or shouldn't be necessary because, Rama was in fact drawn by Maricha far away. Remember, he had taken him far away. Another acharya, Venkatanathacharya, supposes him, namely Rama, simply to be bringing home dinner, something that Lakshman, now otherwise employed, would normally have done. This was clearly the understanding of meat. And in a later chapter, Sita informs Ravana that her husband will soon come, quote, bringing an abundance of food from the forest. And that's explained elsewhere as the flesh of black deer, buffalo, and wild boar. The indecision among the manuscripts reflected in the critical text here as elsewhere may result from the discomfort later felt by the commentators regarding Rama's meat eating. So this is interesting because there are several passages in the Ramayana. The Valmiki Ramayana seems to say quite clearly that Rama and Lakshmana were sometimes killing animals for food. So some devotees are rather shocked at that. But one way of understanding this, there's different ways. One is you could say, well, that must all be interpolation. You know what interpolation is? Interpolation means someone adds something later. Or we can say, no, this is Valmiki, and this is how he understands. And he understands this way. Why? Because this is what Kshatriyas do. And Kshatriyas can't be expected to be living just on fruits and roots. Although sometimes he says, also, I am now going to the forest to live with the sages eating fruits and roots. So it's a little bit complicated. Anyway, I thought I will mention this because probably the versions of the Ramayana that you have read, Shishi Panchatattva Ki Jai, quite possibly the versions that you have read, the summaries of the Ramayana, will exclude such references. Because we want to have a Rama who is vegetarian. So this was just to let you know, because someone may say, how is it Rama is described in the Ramayana that he eats meat? And you might go, no. Well, he is described as that, at least in some versions. So just so you're aware. Okay. Okay, it's already 8 o'clock. Maybe we stop there, since tomorrow is a big day. If there's some comment or question, we can discuss briefly. Yes. His destination. Yeah, he's killed by the Lord, so presumably his destination is quite good. Yes, so all glories to Maricha. It's not mentioned here, and that might be mentioned elsewhere. There are a lot of things which are kind of embellished in other works. There's a version of the Ramayana within the Mahabharata called the Rama Upakhyana, the story of Rama. There's also a Buddhist version. There's also in various Puranas, there's different aspects. We talked about Kurma Purana. That story is there. So something may be in other works. He must have had a good destination because he was killed by Rama. Yeah. Something else. Yes.
So we don't have to version like Ramayana, like Bhagavad Gita as it is.
We don't have a Rama. We don't have a Ramayana as it is. No, there's no. Prabhupada didn't do a Ramayana. He wanted to do so many books. I don't know if he mentioned wanting to. I don't think he had a plan to do Ramayana specifically. He wanted to translate some of the Goswami's works, the 6 Goswami's. I think at one time he wanted to do the Vedanta Sutras. There's a list. I think the BBT have a list of what Prabhupada had once said he would like to do. Yeah. The Bhagavad Gita is, of course, a much shorter work than the Ramayana, and it's what is called a very stable text. What that means is there's practically no difference among all the different manuscripts and whatever of the Bhagavad Gita. Very tiny differences are there in just maybe a handful of verses. And the reason for that is that the Bhagavad Gita has received so much commentary. Both the verse, or else part of the verse. So that makes it has a way of kind of fixing the text so somebody can't change it. The Bhagavad Gita is like that. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also a quite stable text. There are little variations here and there throughout, but they're all quite minor. However, there is a bit of controversy with the Bhagavatam regarding 2 or 3 chapters. Some say, like in the Vallabha Sampradaya, they say that chapter 13 of Canto 10, which is the story of Brahma Vimohana Leela, Lord Brahma stealing the cows and the calves, I mean the calves and the cowherd boys. The Vallabhas say, that can't be an authoritative chapter. It must have been interpolated. Why interpolated? Because Lord Brahma would never do such a thing. Because he is he's the creator of the world. He is the great Lord Brahma, and so on. So they say like that. And there's one or two other chapters like that. But otherwise, the Bhagavatam is very stable. The Mahabharata and the Ramayana are quite unstable. Means there are quite a variety of versions. And that's just the history. Someone decides, I'm going to copy the Ramayana. Because in the old days, if you wanted to have a copy, that meant you sit down and copy. And that's a big job. Or you hire someone to do it for you. And so in the process of copying, sometimes the person copying may not actually know very well Sanskrit. So they'll just be copying and then they'll not read clearly what it says. So they'll just write what they think it must say. Or someone who knows Sanskrit, they'll read this and they'll go, no, can't be that. And they'll put something else. Another word, another phrase, sometimes a whole line, sometimes a whole verse. And then it goes from there. Someone decides, actually, this is missing the whole story of such and such, which I heard when I was a child. My grandmother told me. So that's got to be in there, and so they'll write that in. And as I mentioned a couple of days ago, I guess, there's sort of branches, and that's what, there's a certain species of scholar who they do what they call critical editions, and they'll bring lots of manuscripts together and they'll compare them. Super, super meticulous work. So with the Ramayana, there's what they call northern recension, southern recension, but there's also a northeast recension, northwest recension, all of which have variations. And Mahabharata is at least as variegated as the Ramayana. It's all over. So there is what's called the critical edition of the Ramayana, and there's a critical edition of the Mahabharata. I don't know how long the Ramayana took, but the critical edition of the Mahabharata took a group of several scholars 30 years to prepare. From sometime in the 1930s, I think, they started. This was in India. In Pune, and they finished in 1960 something. We have a copy in our center in Oxford, several volumes. But then sometimes the scholars will look at the critical edition and they'll look at a passage and say, nah, that can't be right. In fact, he does this sometimes also. He says, I don't go with the critical edition. That can't be right. So a Ramayana as it is, well, good luck. What is the disciplic succession for the Ramayana? I don't know if there is exactly such a thing. But on the other side, I think we can be happy, considering this is the age of Kali and, so much, to disturbance is there, so much is lost in terms of Vedic literature. Jiva Goswami says of the original Veda Samhitas, the four Rig Samayajur Atharva, he says of those, that literature, there remains available today only something like 5% of a vast collection. So we can be happy we have Ramayana in some forms. And we take, when there's something that we may feel is strange or hard to deal with, okay, we don't have to take that. We can let it be and just draw from the text what inspires us and what gives us strength and enthusiasm in our devotion, in devotional service. Yeah. Okay. So, thank you all very much. Tomorrow we'll continue. I guess tomorrow morning we could continue with this episode, because this is where it gets very intense. Ravana's meeting Sita. It's also a very interesting passage. I was quite surprised. So yeah, I'll save that for tomorrow. Is that all right? Okay. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Yes, I think tomorrow we have to also say something about Hanuman, right? Yeah, how can you talk about Ram Leela without Hanuman? Srila Prabhupada ki.